do these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away. Asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. I'm really happy to be back. And, man, we got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to be talking about all kinds of crazy things going on in the news, and of course the new Trumpian administration causing all these waves and all this stuff. We're going to be breaking all that down. We're going to be joined by a special guest from the Fifth Column by the name of Justin King. I'm sure most of you guys are familiar with the amazing journalist Justin King, and a very provocative thinker is going to help us go over some of the stuff happening. And of course I'm joined by my longtime co-host DB Schwartz. What's up, dude? How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, just waiting for the fireworks to start.
Crazy times, man. Crazy times. Protests at the airports over the weekend. Airports getting shut down. I really can't remember the last time that happened in the United States. It is a pretty popular tactic in other places. I'm sure many of you guys who have been listening to our show for a while are familiar with our talks with Manny Aguilar, and how often he would talk about how shutting down airports is a good way of getting people's attention. So very interesting to see the amount of people. I mean, I'm surprised because, you know, we talked about this phenomenon before the election about how, you know, if Hillary Clinton were to win, it's kind of just status quo, basically Barack Obama 2.0. The show goes on. Nobody really makes a fuss. Maybe a few more guns are sold out of, in the conservative states or whatever. And, you know, who knows what Hillary Clinton would have gotten us into. That's besides the point because she lost. But what we talked about was that, you know, Trump is going to provoke a reaction from the left. And, you know, we talked about seeing the anti-war movement coming back to life. And now we're just seeing a general protest movement springing up here, going against several different causes. I guess the most obvious of which is this immigration restriction. Jake, welcome to the show, man. What do you make of all these protests? I know you. I think you went to one or two of them, right? I mean, what was your general feeling coming out of these things?
Yeah, I just went to the women's march like the day after the inauguration. And it was intense, and it was pluralistic. It wasn't about just one cause. It was about, I mean, there was a guy chanting Black Lives Matter. There were people talking about the environment. There were people talking about women's reproductive rights, immigration laws. I didn't go to the immigration ban protests. I'm in solidarity with it. I should have gone. I genuinely just hate airports. But that's, you know, that's not really an excuse. I'm just being facetious. But I didn't go to that one. But you know, I'm genuinely shocked at the at how ambitious this band is. And unfortunately, it's going to get a lot worse. And I know that some of your listeners are Trump supporters, and I respect that. I do hope that people are open to the fact that just because Trump is doing something, just because it's Trump doing it and you supported Trump, doesn't mean it's right. And we have pretty good evidence that an immigration ban isn't going to stop, isn't going to do anything to protect us. And what it's doing is it's, well, for one, it's riling up the left. I'm surprised the right wants that to happen. Two, it's really sending a message abroad. And it's, I mean, it's just it's a way for terrorists to recruit people. Now, those are talking points used by a lot of different people, so I don't want to repeat them too much. But in general, I'm surprised at how quickly they're rolling this stuff out. I expected him to probably issue a few executive orders when he first got into office. And then I expected him to kind of lay low because, you know, I think even you shared, Nick, you shared on Facebook a meme that was Trump complaining about the frequency with which Obama was issuing executive orders. And now we have Trump who has done 10 in like 5 days or something. So it's, you know, he's usurping legislation to do these executive orders, and he's picking very controversial issues. And there's, you know, this is unfounded, but there is a lot of rumors going on right now that there's going to be an LGBTQ executive order that's going to involve whether or not gay people can adopt children, and basically just sweeping issues there. So he's not, there's no reason to expect this is going to die down. Tomorrow night he announces his Supreme Court pick. And here's the thing, man. This is the birth of a protest movement because there's literally nothing the Democrats can do. They have no power. They can't even filibuster. Like, Republicans can overrule a filibuster right now. They can't do anything. So the only place for all that outrage to go is in the streets, and that's what's going to happen. And what that's going to cause is then a reaction from Trump and the central government, which is to restrict the protests. This is going to be a mess. And I guess I'll just end it there, which is that if this much is happening just in the first 10 days, I seriously cannot imagine what's going to happen in 2 years.
Very interesting analysis there, man. And, you know, you make some great points. And anybody wanting to look at what we were talking about last week, I definitely recommend going back and checking out our show from Wednesday. We had Kerry Wedler and Derek Bros on the show to talk about this kind of failure of this two-party system, which has really given us Trump the extremely strong executive powers that Trump is now exercising. Obama helped give us those powers. And so, you know, we talked in our last show on Wednesday about the issue of standing up and having principles, not you know, towing party lines, but having principles. And this is an issue that, you know, we've been really, you know, harping on lately because part of, I think personally, one of the biggest problems that we're facing in the United States from the public is the fact that this partisanship has hijacked, you know, critical thought. And, you know, as long as it's your guy doing the oppressing, then it's like, okay. And that's what we're seeing right now with Trump and his supporters basically looking the other way as he does a bunch of dumb things. And, you know, in the previous 8 years, the Obama supporters basically looked the other way while Obama went around toppling governments and bombing countries and doing a bunch of unprogressive things, you know. And so, you know, it's a huge, huge problem. But now we're starting to deal with some very, very real blowback, I think, is what maybe the word to call what Trump is doing right now on terrorism. And to talk a little bit about that, I invited Justin King from the Fifth Column to join us tonight on the radio show. Justin King, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. I mean, this is just a crazy, crazy news week. And, you know, of course, it's the very beginning of Trump's, you know, administration. So we were expecting it to be pretty, pretty nuts. So, you know, that being said, a lot of fuss is being made about this travel restriction. And although it's not super broad or anything like that, I think there's going to be some very, very big repercussions. And I think that they're going to maybe we're going to see some issues from a civil liberty standpoint. But I think we're also going to see some issues from a blowback standpoint. And Justin, I wanted to ask you, because I remember you've got this really good article dating back to December of 2015 that kind of relates to what's going on today with this immigration restriction. And the title of it, it's over on the fifth column, thefifthcolumnnews.com, Understanding Terrorism, Why Anybody Promising to Stop Terrorism is Lying. And so, you know, Trump ran on this platform where he was going to come in and he's going to stop terrorism because Obama couldn't stop it and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we know that Trump isn't going about stopping terrorism by stopping giving them a reason to become terrorism, because we know he just got done bombing, you know, a couple of countries, and then an 8-year-old girl died today in a raid that Obama, that Trump, you know, I don't know the word, ordered, basically. Now, it's funny because I keep accidentally trying to say Obama when I'm trying to say Trump, because we're basically saying the same exact stuff we were saying about Obama is what we're saying about Trump now. You know, back to the point, and we also have an article over on the Anti-Media by Kerry Wedler, and the title on that is Donald Trump is About to Create a Bunch of New Terrorists. Justin King, I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, the reaction that terrorists are actually going to have and their ability to recruit thanks to this new Trump executive order to restrict immigration from Muslim countries.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, this is a gift to the Islamic State. It would have been a gift whether Obama had done it or Trump had done it. It doesn't matter. You know, we actually have another article over there called Letters from Raqqa, and we actually have letters that went to an Oxford professor from Islamic State, an Islamic State soldier who used to be his student. And, you know, this guy, he sits in with their strategy meetings and all that stuff. The two things that the Islamic State wants the most is a resumption of Western bombing campaigns and Western boots on the ground so they can claim jihad and they can bring in the foreign fighters. And for those of us that were around when the foreign fighters came into Iraq, that's what tipped the scales into the favor of the insurgency. Those guys are a whole lot more experienced than the local Syrians. And then the other thing they want is to stop the flow of refugees, because that's their tax base. That's their soldier base, just like any other country. The Islamic State is a bizarre form of terrorism because, in essence, they are a country. They control territory. They tax. They have everything that a normal state would have. They just employ some pretty barbaric means to maintain it. More barbaric means, I guess I should say. The fallout and the backlash that's going to come from the refugee thing, from the restrictions – basically, we've crippled, you know, everybody talks about, you know, when you're thinking counterterrorism, you're going to send in special forces. You're going to send in the Green Berets, right? Well, the Green Berets, their main job is to take indigenous forces and train them and get them to fight. So then, just like we were talking about, the Islamic State can't claim jihad, that they're fighting other Muslims. It's not a crusade. It's Muslim versus Muslim. So that's their main job. Now, one of the main promises that the special forces can make is, if things go bad, we'll get you out of here. Not anymore. They can't get translators. They're not going to be able to get translators, guides, fighters, anything. They're not going to be able to recruit from the local Syrian populace anymore. And that's going to be devastating on a level that I don't think anybody in Trump's entire administration, with the exception of maybe Flynn, understands. Mattis is not an unconventional warrior. He's a conventional warfare kind of guy, and he's very good at that. This is not a conventional war. And I don't think he's going to take Flynn's advice. So, I mean, obviously he did it. I think that we're going to see a strengthening of the Islamic State and probably all of the other affinity groups and all of the other Middle Eastern bad guys that we hear about that are related to, you know, Riyadh, which Saudi Arabia isn't on the list, but all of the Sunnis that are that have been a thorn in our side, so to speak.
So, Justin, I mean, God, great insight you've got there, dude. And I always like talking to you because you've got a lot of experience in the field. I won't ask you exactly what you did or what you've done, but let's just assume that you know more or less what you're talking about. The next question I had, dude, and this really is something that is most concerning to me, is that if you look at kind of the research and look at what causes domestic homegrown terrorism in the United States or, you know, Europe for that matter, the number one reason for people that have been, you know, domestically radicalized, like let's take for instance the Orlando shooter. I mean, the guy was on record saying in the 911 calls, "The reason I'm shooting up this nightclub and killing all these people is because you guys won't stop bombing Afghanistan. And you keep killing people and you keep killing children and women and you keep doing these things. And that's why I'm shooting up the nightclub." So first of all, Trump saying that he's going to end terrorism, he's lying because he's continued to bomb the places that Obama was bombing. I mean, he already sent special forces or whatever it is that he sent into Yemen today and killed an 8-year-old girl. I mean, that is not going to win the hearts and minds of anybody. So on that aspect, you know, it's pretty obvious that Trump is more or less going to continue on with Obama's foreign policies. And he's already, according to what I've read, he's already bombed 3 countries. It could be 2, it could be more. I'm not sure. I haven't been able to track it all down yet. On the other hand, and this is the tactic that has been used by terrorists for a long time, and especially with the Islamic State, and they've actually published articles in their own newspapers talking about this, and what they call it is kind of a war on the gray zone, which is the gray zone referring to the area of life of just Western civilization where, you know, regular Muslims and regular people from, let's say, the United States get along and they do business together and they're friends and they buy from each other's stores and they shop with each other and they coexist. Now, what ISIS is trying to accomplish is exactly what Donald Trump is falling into. And it's also the same thing that happens whenever there's some kind of terror attack and all this. You know, there's always a spike of Islamophobia and xenophobia after a terrorist attack. But what people don't understand is that's how the terrorists win, right?
Right.
And so what I'm worried about is that Trump, you know, let's cut through all the rhetoric and all the bullshit. Trump's anti-Muslim policies are going to create a more xenophobic situation here at home, which in turn is going to radicalize regular Muslims who are not violent, who are not out there trying to commit acts of violence or acts of terrorism. It's going to get them more isolated, more, you know, more likely to turn to someone who has a message of radicalism. I mean, doesn't it seem like that's about to be the case?
Right. Well, and that's probably where you should start. Well, the thing that the audience really needs to grasp is that terrorism is not violence for violence sake. Terrorism is a marketing campaign with violence. That's really what it is. Its job is to intentionally force the government to overreact. That's what it is. You know, that is the strategy behind it. Terrorism isn't an ideology. It's not, you know, just people hating you for your freedom. It is a military strategy. It is a series of tactics that you can use to provoke the government into overreacting. They clamp down on innocent people. Those innocent people get angry. The government can't solve the problem. So who do they turn to? That is what terrorism is. If you go to any real, if you go to a counter-terrorist definition of terrorism, and it's the political, or it's the use of violence or the threat of violence to achieve a political, religious, ideological, or monetary goal, that's the one everybody knows. But it goes on to say, with attacks that affect those beyond the immediate area of attack. And that's the key element, is that everything involving terrorism is about TV, the internet. It's about marketing. It's about turning people and getting them to notice the cause first, and then getting them to realize that maybe there's some truth to it, and then radicalizing them. And if you don't think it works, think back to 9/11. On September 10th, who really knew what we were doing in the Middle East? But by September 15th, every news outlet in the world said everything the U.S. was doing. So they got attention to the cause. And then, as it goes on, you start to see people say, well, actually, what we're doing there isn't right. And it takes years. You know, terrorism is a long-term plan. But, you know, you see people say, well, that's not right. We shouldn't be doing that. And in reality, there's a whole lot of stuff we're doing over there we shouldn't be doing. And then at the final stage, you start getting radicalization. You start getting people that are willing to pick up a gun and fight for that cause, even if it wasn't their cause to begin with. And it is it's a pattern, it's a strategy, and it almost never fails. That's the scary part for the average person, is that not just is it one of those things that the harder you try to fight it, the stronger it gets, it almost never fails. And when you're talking about one that's matured, there's never been one that's been put down by force. If we want, the Russians are the only major power that are engaging Islamic terrorism in the correct manner. They're using their special operations teams to soften up the command and control. But anytime there's a real fight, they're letting the Syrians do it. They're supporting them. They're giving them everything they need to do it. But it's never them actually doing the fighting. It's somebody else. It's another Muslim group. You're denying them that ability to claim that it's a crusade, that it's somebody wanting to stamp out Islam. And that's their marketing. You see, you had to take that away from them. And that's, well, you know, when people say, well, Putin's going to run our military, I'm like, oh, thank God. Somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, I agree with you 100%. I think we're going about this entirely wrong. And so, you know, Donald Trump is, although he's run on a rhetorically anti-terror platform to become president, it definitely seems like everything he's doing is actually going to be the president that presides over maybe the most amount of terrorism the world has ever seen. And that is a very worrying prospect.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Because not just is he going to have the Islamic terrorism, you know, you have a baby domestic insurgency revolving around civil liberties and civil rights and stuff like that in this country that's been forming since just before Ferguson. His activities there, it's very likely, you know, that the clampdown, you know, we're in that fourth stage, and the fifth stage is actual open insurgency. And he is the individual whose policies would very easily bring it about.
Shit, dude, I forgot. All right, there's a three-pronged thing here that I want to bring up, and this is going to be, we're going to be getting into some new territory here, because I've been seeing some stuff right here in my own neighborhood, because I live right here on the border with Mexico, that's going on. Before we go into that, on the domestic, there's like a three-pronged domestic front here that is going to be opening up against Donald Trump that is going to be extremely dangerous for everybody. But first, before we go on to that, are these people just that inept? Is Donald Trump's team that inept. And let's look further back to, you know, Obama and Bush, and all of the policy that they've pretty much carried out have been pro-terrorism policies, even though they call it a war against terrorism. We all know that terrorism has kind of increased. Are they that inept? Are they that stupid? Or are they just purposely letting, like, making policies that just keep this war going on? I mean, Justin, what's your opinion on that?
It's a combination. Your political people want the war because they want some things from Syria. Your military people, Trump actually has the best two military guys that have been in those seats in a very, very long time. The problem is he's not going to listen to him. Flynn, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was there's this little agency called Defense Intelligence Agency, and they're like the CIA's secret little brother. And maybe a year ago, they came out and said, you know, that's it. We're kind of just going to let this out. And the guy drops the file, and it basically says, yeah, we funded the Salafi. That's the Islamic State. He's the guy that came forward. This is the agency that came forward and made that announcement. The guy that did that's Flynn. He's actually extremely bright. He's very good at counterterrorism. He is an unconventional warrior. And he has the mindset to destabilize the command and control and let the Syrians wipe out the rest of them. But the problem is there's no glory in that. It's dirty, it's sneaky, it's underhanded, and nobody ever knows you did it. You can't win a re-election if nobody knows you did it. So they're not going to listen to him. Mattis is conventionally, you know, we're talking tanks and troops out in the open field. He's a genius. He really is. And he's also a very honorable man when it comes to the way he fights wars. He was the guy that told his men not to engage in waterboarding. Direct order. The way he fights wars and the way that other military people of recent fight them are very different. He the guy's from a different century in his mindset. So he has two very, very smart guys up there with him. But we've already seen he's not going to listen to him, because I promise you there is no way that Flynn signed off on this refugee restriction. I guarantee you they didn't ask him or they didn't listen to him.
So is this just Bannon basically giving horrible advice, or what's going on?
It's got to be somebody. It's either Trump's vision of, you know, this is how the military should work, and he's seen way too many war movies, or it is somebody behind Trump pulling the strings. But yeah, I'm certain, you know, it's the same thing with the torture. You know, he came out and said, we're going to torture them because they deserve it. And Mattis was like, not with my troops, you're not. And Trump had to back down, but that was only because Mattis came out and said that publicly.
One thing I've noticed about Trump is that, you know, he really is, I think he really is a populist, and he's kind of, I think maybe, especially with this Muslim immigrant, you know, travel restriction, which is being called the Muslim ban. It's not really a Muslim ban, technically speaking, but, you know, it does affect mostly, you know, Muslim majority countries. You know, he's really playing into this emotional argument that has been made that, oh, well, we got to stop accepting these refugees because, you know, they're going to sneak in here and start, you know, blowing shit up and stuff. I mean, maybe he's just trying to solidify his base of support. And, you know, let's face it, arguing with his people online has been a big struggle for myself. I've been wasting hours every day arguing with Trump voters about the merits of banning people coming from certain countries and stuff. So I think he is trying to peddle, you know, things that his base thinks are the right, correct way to go about doing things, like banning, you know, these countries and just being extremely strong on foreign policy, bombing the shit out of countries. These are things that people tend to think are the correct way of going about accomplishing goals. Unfortunately, the reality is a much different situation. In fact, they're probably going about creating more terrorism. You know, and so I think Trump, maybe, I don't know if he's, someone's got his ear, but I think he's just trying to, you know, follow through on his populist kind of message that he listens to his people. And, you know, Trump's entire campaign was based upon, I think, polling of the demographic that he identified that he thought he could win with, and just tapping into those emotional frustrations that they have. And, you know, these guys are all a bunch of middle class people that are insecure about their paycheck and wondering, like, why in the hell things aren't like the way they used to be. And he tapped into that, and he may have lied or bullshitted or, you know, spewed half truth the way to get all the way to office, but it worked. And he's continuing it as he's, you know, sitting there in office pretending like he's going to beat terrorism. You know, maybe not knowing, or knowing that it's just not going to work. So that, you know, is really concerning.
I think he might believe that it's going to work. There are, even within the military, and there are people, and unless you're actually trained in counterterrorism, in anti-terrorism, and unless you're trained in that and you're trained in the unconventional warfare sense, you think that you can fight it like a normal war. And I think that, you know, he may believe that. He's wrong. He's dead wrong. But, I mean, it may be his belief. But beliefs, you know, they don't, you know, the French believed that a wall would stop the Germans, and it didn't. So.
So, you know, let's get into this kind of three-headed monster here, because this is going to be something that's going to be something to keep an eye on over the next couple of years. So first of all, we've been talking about Islamic terrorism, and you know, Trump's policies are going to generate an uptick in xenophobia, which in turn is going to end up radicalizing moderate Muslims here at home, which in turn, of course, will lead eventually to terror attacks here, domestically homegrown terror attacks. You know, and that's going to be a given. I mean, it's already happening. It happened plenty under Obama. It's going to be happening a little bit more under Trump. And, you know, that's every time a terror attack happens, more xenophobia happens, more moderate Muslims get isolated and they feel like they're under attack. They more of them turn to radicalism. And then so the cycle continues. Right. So that's kind of what's going to happen. That's kind of a given here. That's going to keep going on. And, you know, Trump's policies, the anti-Muslim rhetoric, has already caused an uptick in hate crimes against Muslims. And so this problem is basically going to get a lot worse. But Justin, as you brought up, this isn't the only issue that we're facing here in the United States with an uptick in a major, I don't know what to call it, civil unrest, I guess, stemming from the abuse of police against the Black community here in the United States. And Justin, you've written a lot about the cycle of insurgency and you know, the signs that we're seeing right now with all these protests, and, you know, how some of them have turned into riots recently. Ferguson, Baltimore, New York City, Los Angeles, all over the country, really. There's, on average, we're getting like 1,000 police killings a year. What do you think we can expect under Trump? I mean, he's been this pro-cop, and I'm going to, you know, make cops strong. He's threatened to send feds into Chicago already. I mean, what do you think is going to be unfolding under Trump when it comes to like the police, you know, police brutality and the Black Lives Matter movement and all that stuff?
Well, we're, you know, the cycle of insurgency, there's five steps. The first one is pamphlets, and that's because it's old jargon. You know, now it's blogs. Okay, it gets people ready for it. It gets people angry about a cause. The next step is reactive protests. That's like what we saw in Ferguson. Something happened, then they let the cop go, and then you had a riot. And then you have preemptive rioting, and that's what we saw in Milwaukee. They shot the kid. They knew they were going to let him go, so they started setting stuff on fire. Then you have a military or law enforcement backlash. That is where we are at right now. Trump's promise of amping up militarization, of giving officers the tools they need, all of this stuff, that fits directly into the cycle. That is what is supposed to happen at this point if you want an insurgency.
Which again goes back to this fact that the fact that he's you know, kind of buying into these emotional arguments that like, oh, the cops are under threat and they're being killed and they need to, you know. Which isn't true, but it fits emotionally. People believe that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, never mind that being a pizza delivery driver is more dangerous. This is, you know, this is what people believe. It's the perception. So they're going to get the stuff. You're going to have more shootings, and eventually you're going to have more and more events like Texas and Baton Rouge and New York where people are ambushing cops. You're going to have more and more. And eventually their only response is going to be to crack down on entire areas. When they do that, that is when it is likely to spark an actual widespread insurrection. Unless, of course, there's an incident where they, you know, think Boston Massacre, where they just do something and it's broadcast live or something like that. You know, that is something that can cause widespread insurrection. But that's where we're at. I mean, we're on the cusp of entering the stage where we have people shooting in our streets. And that's terrifying to people like me. That's terrifying.
The other alternative too could be we do suffer a massive terror attack that's used just specifically to justify any crackdown and create a fortress scenario.
That's what I think is going to happen.
You know, I used to think that people that said stuff like that were crazy. And then I, you know, started working in the independent media for a few years and actually researching. I can't say they wouldn't do it.
They could pull it into the Reichstag and it would do the exact same thing. I mean, what are you going to do against a drone network that's controlled by AI? Can we even compete? I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, I mean, think about what would happen right now if there was a terror attack, even a small one, even one like a fourth the size of 9/11. Can you imagine if that happened right now in America the way we are? We'd go into martial law. There'd be martial law.
Mm-hmm. And that would spark the insurgency. And right. The question you asked about, you know, what are you going to do against drones? That's why insurgency is so dangerous, because that drone has a pilot. Well, that pilot's on a military base. You can't get to him. Where's his kid go to school? That's how it gets so bloody and so violent so quickly. That's why it's scary. I mean, that's why we really need to exhaust every option before this happens, because it's, you know, it's different when you hear about it in another country, when you see it. I mean, it's something else, and it's something that we really have to strive to not allow to happen, because, you know, yeah, they have all the high tech toys, but when it comes to insurgency, basically it's terrorism with popular support. The tactics that are used are pretty much the same, and it's horrible. I mean, it's bloody. So
you know, this is going to be a very hot. You know, it's kind of like a powder keg ready to blow off. I mean, there hasn't been a major incident of police brutality that has gone big. Like, you know, the most recent one, I guess, would be probably Eric Garner or, you know, Freddie Gray. There hasn't been one in about a year or so. Of course, there's been dozens and dozens of police killings lately. But the first one that goes off under Trump, you know, Trump doesn't have the benefit of the doubt of being Obama and of being, you know, maybe slightly less heavy-handed from a law enforcement perspective, even though, of course, you know, Obama presided over a lot of the militarization of the police. But Trump is going to be openly heavy-handed in his response, I believe. And, of course, it's just going to exacerbate the issue. And so, you know, the next big police shooting where there's major protesting and major riots, I mean, this is something that we're going to have to watch closely, because it could spread like a contagion across the country. I mean, I remember when the whole Mike Brown stuff went down, you know, that's when we had our biggest protests here in San Diego, all the way across the country, against police brutality and stuff, because it spread like a contagion. Even though Obama was making comments trying to temper it down and trying to, you know, be kind of conciliatory and try to, you know, say, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. Trump isn't going to do that, I don't think. I mean, Trump is going to make it a lot worse when it happens. So when this next event happens, like, people, Justin, what do you think people should be thinking about or doing when this next thing, you know, plays out? It could be tomorrow, it could be next week or next month, but it's going to happen sometime really soon. I mean, what should we be doing?
Well, My advice is to have what you need to, and this sounds crazy, but have what you need at your home for 30 days, whether it be medicine, food, whatever, and assume no relief is coming. And then from there, do what you're going to do. If you're going to go out into the streets and protest, do it. You know, be prepared for a much heavier response than we've seen in most places. But just remember that once this starts, it starts in one city, and then it, just like anything else, affinity groups spring up. Think of it like a serial killer with copycats. You know, if somebody does an ambush in Texas, somebody else thinks it's a good idea and does one in Baton Rouge. And when it starts to happen with enough frequency, then it's just happening all the time. And then you start seeing IEDs and stuff like that, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So when you're asking what you should do, I mean, there's – I know what I'm going to do. I don't know. You know, everybody has a different mindset, and I'm all about diversity of tactics. So you do what you feel you need to do, but stay safe.
Do you believe the first line of defense is going to be local PD, and they're going to also be the first victims of this?
In the sense of what? Do you mean
when there's a breakdown of any sort, you know, people are going to take the initial pot shots at PD?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to be the softest targets, and it's going to be the nice cops. You don't go up to the notoriously ruthless cop in your neighborhood. You're going to go after the soft one. You're going to go after the one that stops at the lemonade stand and talks to the kids. And I think it will depend on the reputation of the department. I think you're a lot more likely to suffer an ambush if you're in a department with a bad reputation. You know, there's a reason that small police departments that are, you know, small sheriff departments, they don't have these issues because they're accountable to the people they're around. The larger the population, the less accountable they feel, the more they abuse their power. So I think it'll continue to be in large metropolitan areas. We've only had one that stepped outside of that, and that was in Indiana. It didn't get a lot of coverage. But the guy tried to take out, I don't mean to laugh, but the guy tried to take out like half the police department. and he was using explosives. It didn't work, but that was his plan. And from what I understand, it was a notoriously corrupt department. They weren't actually abusive, but they were dirty. So I think if you're in a small jurisdiction, low population, you probably don't have that much to worry about initially. And as an LEO, you'll have time to make your decision as to how you're going to react, if you're going to follow federal mandates or if you're not. Those in the more metropolitan areas, they're not going to have time to think about it. They're going to react because they're told to, and from their mindset, they're being attacked. That's more guesswork than, you know, most of what I say is rooted in historical fact. That's more intuition. So,
you know, all this stuff being said, here's something that isn't really being talked about yet that is going to become a major issue as soon as they start implementing whatever it is Trump is planning with the immigration policies and deportations, building the wall, and, you know, all the stuff going down that route. What isn't being talked about is the homegrown Chicano resistance. And those not familiar with the term, you know, people who are Americans of Mexican descent, a lot of them refer to themselves as Chicanos. I live right here on the border, man, and they're talking about building the wall. It's not very popular around here, but if they're going to start talking about deporting illegal immigrants from Mexico, there's not really a easy way to do that besides what I can tell what would happen is setting up checkpoints basically everywhere and profiling anybody that looks slightly brown and finding out if they are U.S. citizens. Now, I've got some, anecdotal evidence from a recent incident that happened with my own brother, and his couple of his friends got profiled by the Department of Homeland Security, and they were held and arrested for 2 hours, despite the fact that all three of them were U.S. citizens. They just looked Mexican. They basically threatened to deport one of the guys because he couldn't prove that he was a U.S. citizen at the time, even though he had a California issued ID. So all of these same principles we're talking about, radicalization, isolation, with Muslims, and then of course what's going on within the Black community with the cops. This stuff is all going to start applying very quickly here to anybody who is Hispanic living in the United States, because if they start, profiling anybody that looks Hispanic as, possibly, asking them for their papers and saying, oh, prove to me that you're a U.S. citizen and stuff, you're going to start radicalizing a bunch of regular people that live out here that are U.S. citizens, that are just working and doing their own thing, that are just regular people that happen to be Mexican. And you're going to start radicalizing them. And then I don't even want to know what's going to happen. But that's these type of things. I mean, Trump is opening up so many fronts domestically and abroad that this guy is like literally heading us right into a huge disaster. And there is going to be some major, major unrest here in the Southwest and all throughout the big cities. And terror attacks with Muslims. I mean, Justin, given this any thought about this blowback that's going to come socially from this anti-Latino rhetoric and, building the wall and deporting a bunch of immigrants and, cracking down on that? Because I really don't see another way to crack down on illegal immigration. In my neighborhood, everybody looks like they could be an illegal immigrant. You'd have to literally pull everyone over and check their papers to find out. I can only think that there's going to be some major social blowback here.
There will probably be checkpoints if they want to do it effectively. If you want to do it effectively, you're going to have to do, oddly enough, what the Islamic State did. You're going to, when they were trying to root out the Shia, they set up checkpoints. They pulled people over. They didn't ask them for IDs. They asked them what elementary school you go to, so they could identify where they were taught, what school, what sect they were from. They're going to ask the same kind of questions.
I think we lost Justin's signal there. You guys there, Jake? You still there?
He was about to drop some knowledge about how to answer at the checkpoints. That's why they cut him off.
Yeah, he was dropping too much knowledge there.
I'll try to get Justin back on. We lost his signal there.
That was some dope stuff, though, he was saying.
It is, but I also wonder if the insurgency here will be so much different, since obviously we have a full control grid set up, whereas a country over there is still relying on things we did 40, 50 years ago.
Jake and DB, you guys have both lived here in San Diego, and you know what I'm talking about with the demographics and stuff. I mean, how else would they try to enforce some kind of deportation scheme other than trying to, basically profile people? And you know what? When Trump was running as a candidate, he actually came out. Remember, he came out in favor of profiling people. You remember that?
Yeah.
And he got elected. I mean, it's a pretty popular idea, honestly. I mean, do you think
what's it called again? Like, I don't know. It's profiling's in it, but it's a specific. It looks like Justin's back.
Racial profiling.
What'll probably happen if he's got any strategies at all is he's going to provide some kind of amnesty window. But if he wants to create a draconian policy going forward, people in country already have got to be given some pathway to citizenship. You can't just blanket throw out. I mean, they said 11 million illegal immigrants. I think that's how many are undocumented in California alone. So
imagine they would want the spectacle of rounding up people in goon squads with, armed. That's an act of war. I mean, really, like, I can't imagine that they want that to look like that. It's as if they have no one looking at the optics of what they're doing and how this looks You know, it's
or they're creating distractions too. I mean, this is so ill-informed and horribly played out that was this seriously. Not a distraction?
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is not going to go down well. I mean, I know in my neighborhood, fools. If people start becoming radicalized, it's not going to be pretty. You know, they set up checkpoints. These checkpoints are going to be targets. And you know,
what's it been like that down there on Broadway? Have people been acting crazier than usual or anything?
It's kind of like the quiet before the storm right now.
Yeah.
And the wall and all that stuff is very, very unpopular around here. And people here know that we're going to be paying for it, especially, you know, our economy is we're in San Diego. We've got the busiest border crossing in the entire world, excluding like the refugee areas, maybe between Turkey and Syria, maybe a little bit more right now in normal places that aren't at war. We've got the busiest border crossing, you know, in the world right here. And so huge, huge economic implications to Trump's wall and to the proposed idea of putting a 20% tax on tariffs and stuff. It's very, very unpopular around here. I don't know, man. I mean, I know that if there were checkpoints around here and the people around here started feeling targeted, even though they're just, you know, U.S. citizens that happen to be Mexican, people would not react well. And you know, these checkpoints are targets. And going back to what Justin was saying, I mean, these cops, they're not very well trained to deal with an insurgency. I mean, they go around in these MRAPs and shit. They set up checkpoints. They go put themselves, they let everyone know where they're at, and they all stand together in a line. I mean, those guys are perfect targets in an insurgency. I think we've got Justin back on the line. What's up, man? You there?
Yeah. And I don't know what happened there. But what I was going to say is the one thing that particular segment of society has and will have access to is funding. When it goes loud, when shooting starts, over this, the cartels are going to be more than happy to fund weapons, to fund whatever the people there will use, because the destabilization of Border Patrol is the destabilization of Border Patrol. It doesn't matter where it's happening. They're going to have to divert resources. And that's something we haven't seen in the U.S. since, I guess, the Jamaican posse in the 80s. I mean, like, we haven't seen that kind of money being directed at running a campaign against law enforcement in any time in recent memory. I think that's going to be something that is going to surprise people, because one of the things that all of these attackers had in common was that they were self-funded. You know, it's different to go out and buy $5,000 worth of equipment yourself, but when you have a cartel that $100,000 is nothing, doesn't cost a dime, like it doesn't mean anything to them. You know, that's five keys. You're going to see a level of violence that we haven't seen not in a very, very long time. So I mean, that's you're right in the sense of he has put so many irons in the fire that there's no way to control them all. One of these things is going to pop. But we'll just have to wait and see which one.
I didn't even think about the whole cartel factor, man. That's a very interesting wrinkle that I didn't even think about. You know, they're easy access. In fact, I mean, shit, a bunch of the people living around here are family members of cartels. A bunch of the businesses around here are front companies. You know, and so the money is already here. It's just waiting around. It could be probably put to use pretty quickly. And you know, they've got all the weaponry and stuff down there, just south of the border. These cartels are very well armed. A lot of it with U.S. armory and weapons and stuff. So that's going to be another thing to watch, dude. And you know, the other thing too is that south of the border, there's a bunch of turmoil going on, and you know, the people in Mexico are pretty much just waiting for the revolution to pop off. I mean, they've been close for a long time, very long time. And the government there is very unpopular, And with Trump and his, you know, rhetoric, it's been hammering their currency. And the people there are at the point of almost breaking. I know several people that I've talked to from Mexico that have talked about, like, the condition down there, economically speaking. I mean, people are working full on, you know, full days of work. And I think the minimum wage right now is like 80 pesos, which is like $4 for the whole day. So these guys are making $4 a day. And the value of their money is going down, like, at record rates. It's going to be about 25 pesos to the dollar pretty soon here if this keeps up. So we're dealing with a major destabilization south of the border. Donald Trump is basically doing everything in his power to destabilize Mexico right now. He's angering the Latino and Chicano community here in the United States. The Southwest, the entire Southwest of the United States is made up of maybe like half of the people there are Hispanic. He's going to be angering a bunch of people in the big cities. And he's going to be inspiring a bunch of homegrown terrorism. I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster, man. And I'm really worried about it. We got to do what we can. And I'm glad that this is why I'm glad. You know what? Some of these protests are, yeah, sure. Some of the people there are hypocrites because they didn't do shit while Obama was going around bombing places and doing militarizing the police and doing all the things Obama did. But I'm glad that there is a resistance because we need it. We need this resistance now more than ever because we're starting to go down this path of uncharted territory where we've never been in a situation more ripe for major, major civil unrest. And I we couldn't have anyone better on the show than Justin King to talk about this stuff. So, you know, this is stuff to keep in mind and, you know, we got to keep up the fight. Because if we don't, there's going to be a major breakdown of just civilization here in the United States. And who knows where the chips are going to fall after that. It's not, I don't know if it's really a situation many people want to be in. Sure, everybody wants change and stuff. And even California here where we're at, talking about breaking off from the rest of the country and stuff. But I don't think anybody wants to be in this uncertain situation where there's violence everywhere and, you know, not sure where you're going to eat the next day. So I think resistance now is key. We have to resist this. We got to reverse the Trump course. And not only that, we got to start reversing the course in general because they're playing this two-party crap against us where it's like, oh, as long as Trump's doing it, it's okay. But if Obama was doing the same thing, well, then it'd be horrible. Well, we got to start being more principled in our opposition and opposing things or supporting things through principles and not through parties. And that's where I think the resistance should start finding its roots, is more of a idealistic opposition or, you know, the resistance, so to speak, that isn't living within the Democratic Party or within the Republican Party that is kind of outside of those two things. That being said, let's go quickly back around the table just for some final thoughts. I'll go to Justin King first. We only got like two more minutes, so let's try to go quick on this. Anything else you want to add to this, Justin?
No, I think we've done a very exhaustive and great job.
Awesome, dude. Well, it was great having you on, dude, and always a good time having you on this show. And we're trying to start moving the focus away from news as much on our radio show. Of course, our website is going to be a bunch of news, and we've got a major redesign. I just got to see it today coming to the website. I think everyone's going to love this thing. It's going to move independent media to the next plateau, I think. So, you know, check out theantimedia.org for your news. But here on the show, every Monday and Wednesday, 5 days a week, actually, on the Antimedia, but Monday and Wednesday, we're going to be shifting more into a philosophical kind of direction here with the show and talking a little deeper into these issues like we did tonight with this kind of cycle of terrorism and insurgency that Donald Trump is probably going to make a lot worse. DB, a couple of seconds left. Anything else you want to add?
You just keep focused on the market. If you see something catastrophic with the Dow, know that it was kind of maybe the intention, and that's a lot of what these distractions could be about too.
Jake,
keep your eye on these executive orders in the next week because I hate to make this prediction, but I think there's stuff coming up that's going to make this immigration ban look even small potatoes. There's going to be a lot of protests coming up soon. That's to say the least.
Crazy, man. We'll be on top of it here at the MFP Radio. Thank you all for tuning in.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.